We have been studying in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to pick up with our study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And reflect upon Paul's concern for those at Thessalonica. He was burdened for them. He was concerned for them. And he sent a trusted servant, Timothy, to find out how things were going with them. In chapter 2 and in verse 19, it says that, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" Paul was concerned that they would be qualified to stand in His presence approved. That they would stand in His presence and hear, "Well done." Because Paul knew, as well as I'm sure he taught these at Thessalonica, not every child of God is going to stand before God and hear, "Well done." There are going to be those that will be disqualified from being in His presence. Not that they would spend eternity in hell, because this, the judgment seat of Christ is for those in the family, but those who are in the family, those children of God, will one day want to rule and reign with Christ. And that requires a "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And one of the things that concerned Paul was their faith. In 1 Thessalonians 3 in verse 5 it says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Paul wanted to know about their faith. Now this is not talking about getting saved. This is talking about, were they pleasing God? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." He wanted to know that if those at Thessalonica were continuing to please God. Because he knew that if they were continuing to please God, that they would stand in His presence when He came. And we will do likewise. If we're pleasing God by living by faith, then we will stand approved as well. Now, let me just say this. To be able to live by faith, one has to be just. To be just means that you're behaving yourself according to the Word of God. You're not living in adultery. You're not living in sin. You cannot live in sin and live by faith at the same time. It's impossible. As soon as you sin, fellowship is broken. And that's the reason why we need to confess our sins, knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive us. One of the things that's interesting to note about this book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul commends them on their faith. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." Paul remembered their work of faith, but he was wanting them to do what? To continue that work of faith. You can stop living by faith. And Paul knew that. And so therefore Paul was concerned that they continue to please God by living by faith. Otherwise, all the work, all the teaching, all the Bible lessons, all the encouragement that Paul did while he was in their presence would have been in vain. It would have been a waste of time. And Paul did not want that to happen. That's the same thing here. All the messages and all the preaching and all the teaching is here for the benefit of all of us. Not just me, not just you, but all of us. But let me tell you, all of this can be in vain for you. Because it's important for us to respond to the Word of God and to change. People come and sit and hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, and nothing ever happens in their life. They're the same when they came in, they're the same when they leave as when they came in. There is no resolve, no purpose, no course change due to the standard set in the Word of God. So Paul's hope for them was to stand in his presence approved. In 1 Thessalonians 3:13 it says, to this end, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul wanted them to be unblameable in holiness. And our hearts are the places where that is established. Why is the heart so important? It's out of the heart that comes the issues of life. It's an angry heart that beats or kills someone. It's the anger, or it's the heart of greed that causes the stealing and the cheating. It's the heart who desires power that causes corruption. Violence is used to obtain that which one wants. The threat of violence. It was the threat of killing 160 some odd people that allowed the hijackers to get what they wanted. So, Paul wanted them to be unblameable. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, he says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. This word is translated behind or short or destitute. As I read that passage of Scripture, I was thinking in my heart, or thinking to myself, there's things in faith that can be lacking or short. A lot of people talk about being saved by faith. Well, wonder if your faith is lacking. Did you get saved? That's what I think. That's what I thought. But you know what? When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no thought of any lack. You either believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you either accept His finished work on the cross of Calvary for yourself personally, or you don't. In believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no lack. But faith, our faith can be lacking. There are some that are pleasing God more than others. There are some that are trusting God more than others. There are some that say, oh, I'm trusting God, but what are they doing? They're wringing their hands. They're planning their escape. You know, we need, faith is simply trusting God when we can't do anything about it. Now, if we stick our hands, or if we pick up something hot, a skillet off the stove, now we don't have to ask God for grace to continue to hold the skillet as it burns our hands. We can turn it loose. We don't have to bear some things, but there are things in our life that we cannot change, particularly things that other people do to us and against us. And faith is simply trusting God to work it out for us, regardless of the circumstances, and just simply resting peacefully in our heart that God is in control. And if that individual does not or will not change, that still does not affect my relationship with my Lord, and it will not change the way I live. There are people today who will not go to church, who blame God, that are angry with God because they can't get their way. God took my loved one from me. I had a friend of mine tell me that his sister was laying there with a migraine headache, and she told her brother, she says, "If I had a child, I don't think I'd do this to him or her." But you know what? We just have to believe that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are higher than our ways. And if we were looking at it from God's perspective, we would say, pour it on. However hard that would be. Particularly if it's you, and you're the one in pain. I've not had a migraine headache, but I have seen the effects of a migraine headache in my wife. She's had them. She had one that closed out this last year. Friday she had one. And it wasn't much fun. But the point is that we need to trust Him. And Paul desired for them to build up their faith, to build up that which was lacking in their faith. Now, I didn't include this verse of Scripture, but in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." To build up that which is lacking in our faith has to do with what? The ministry of the word of God. Paul desired to come and continue to share with them the word of God. But there was another point that he wanted to encourage them on, and that had to do with love. Love is essential if faith is really going to work. But let me just bring out this verse in verse 2 of chapter 3. And he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to, it says comfort in the King James, but a better way of translating that would be to exhort you concerning faith. Faith is not something that's easy to do. It's not easy to live by faith. We need encouragement to do that. And we need encouragement all along our pilgrimage here on the earth. In Acts 14:22, it says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." You know, one of the things about the church at Thessalonica was that they were going through tribulation. They were having hard times. They were pleasing God, and who was focusing in on them? The devil and his angels. He wanted to discourage them. He wanted Paul's labor to be in vain. He wanted to see these people kicked out of the presence of God because they did not continue faithfully in the Lord. And in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 22, it says, "In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." We can fall away from the faith. We can make shipwreck of the faith. And so therefore it's important for us to be encouraged and exhorted to continue in the faith. Like I said before, Paul was concerned that his labor might be in vain in verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians 3. Paul knew that the doctrine of demons could change their life. Demon activity is rampant today. People are following every false god and religion. Religions that we have never heard of, we have never heard of. And it's just astonishing the power they have. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." That means that even children of God can be drawn away from pleasing God. By listening to whom? Not listening to the Word of God, because the Word of God says that if you will listen to it, your faith will be increased. So they're listening to everything else but the Word of God. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You find out what man is emphasizing today, you better get off of that and get on to what pleases God. You just look what's important to man today. It's your portfolio. It's your bank account. Let me tell you, if you've got a substantial portfolio and you've got a big bank account, you don't have to live by faith. Did you know that? If you want something, you just go get it. You don't even have to pray about it. You just buy it. Man highly esteems financial security. What did the Lord require of the children of Israel? You get manna today, you eat it all, and if you don't eat it all, you throw it away. When the day comes, you've got nothing. When the day ends, you don't have a thing left. And the reason I like that is because you've got to trust me that I'll give you something to eat tomorrow. And that's faith. That's trusting God to take care of us. Now, one of the things that we find as we read in the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 3, verse 6, it says that, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought good tidings of your faith and love, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were exhorted over you in all our afflictions and distress." By who? By what? Your faith. Let me tell you. Your faith is an exhortation to me and to others. Your tribulation encourages me in my tribulation. It's a fellowship together of preparing ourselves to stand in His presence approved. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verses 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." How do we sustain ourselves against the devil and his angels? Faith. If the devil can talk you out of living by faith, what does that give him? It gives him the advantage. He can bring you into captivity. He can cause anyone's ministry in your life to be a waste of time. And may the Lord help us to appreciate that and to respond to His Word. 1 Timothy 1:19 tells us, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some of you, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." The main thing that I want you to get out of this verse 19, 1 Timothy 1:19, is esteeming faith. We need to esteem highly that which pleases God. We need to have a high regard for faith. If we have a very high regard for faith, it will change our lives. We find it in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy in verse 9. Esteeming the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. We need to esteem. We need to regard. We need to value faith very highly. And then Paul says, that in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." I think one thing that was lacking in the church at Thessalonica was love. We know from passages like 1 Corinthians 13, 2, he says, "If I have faith that I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm wasting my time. I have nothing. That is a vain thing." Galatians 5 and verse 6, "Faith which worketh by love." It takes love for faith to be operative, to be active. And I'm not talking about words. We can say we love somebody, but if we don't respond to them in their emotional needs, their financial needs, whatever their needs may be, and they're in ministering to them, that's not love if it's not associated with acts or with works. So, I think what I'm going to do is end our thoughts here this morning, and because I do believe that for their end to be established, or the establishing of their hearts unblameable in holiness, they needed to increase in love. And we need to do the same thing. We need to love each other. We need to care for each other. We need to be faithful in walking by faith, even though we are in trouble sometimes, so that we can encourage each other. If you quit, that affects me. Doesn't mean I have to quit. It just is a discouragement to me. They weren't quitting, and it was an encouragement to Paul. But Paul says, there's one thing you can do. You can step up your love for each other. And I don't think that can always be the case in all of our relationship in our lives together. May the Lord help us this year to receive the exhortation of Paul, that we might live by faith, and that love may be increased and abound in our among our fellowship, that we might receive the blessing of hearing a well done and thou good and faithful servant. Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Father, we do thank You that You sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross that we might be saved, that we might put our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the whole world. And we thank You, Father, that You have raised Him from the dead and set Him at Your right hand to intercede for us, that one day we might stand in Your presence approved and to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We thank You, Father, for Your Word that speaks to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts will not be hard, that our hearts will not be cold, that our hearts will be soft and responsive and submissive to Thee. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to receive the exhortation to continue in the faith and also to continue in Your grace. Bless the message to each of us here this morning. May it bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and good and profit to us. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray.